shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match, yeah. But tonight it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be all right. And don't you know it's a pity the day is...
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Vince Gold's expert panel with Meg. Hot town, summer in the city, the sunshine is out. And you know what that means? It's time for the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins.
Oh, it's good to be here. It's nice to have the Lovin' Spoonfuls drop in this morning.
I know. I haven't heard that song in a while. Mike brought that in for me this morning.
Absolutely. Classy.
Yes, sir.
Classy.
Yes, sir. So how are you?
No, doing good. Doing very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Rain has been good. You know, good to have that. The little tropical system that we had, I think if nothing else, is sort of a wake-up call to have us all realize that they can come up anytime and... hopefully, they'll be no stronger
as minimal
than that.
As that. Yes, that was perfect. A little rain. Bye-bye.
A little rain, and, you know, and it's all over. So that's where it should be. But we all need to be ready. And we've talked about it on the show before about pruning your trees. Get your tree surgeon out there and do it. Check your generator. You know, be sure your generator's working. Mm-hmm. If it's like mine, it's been sitting in the garage for...
gathering dust for a bit.
Gathering dust, really, for a couple of years. And just be ready.
Right.
Just be ready, because it's the season, and we hope everything will turn out okay. It is, or has been, a couple of days ago, the summer solstice.
That's right.
Which is the, pardon me, the longest day and the shortest night.
That's right.
Exactly. So that's very interesting. The ancients...
Oh, okay. Well, this is good. This is where we're going this morning. Okay.
Well, we won't go along. We won't go along here. I just find it interesting that the ancients took the summer solstice and had all kind of activities and theories and what have you. Just kind of interesting.
Well, everything was done by the stars. I mean, everything, and we navigated by the stars.
Right.
Everything was done by the time of day, the nights, the rising stars, the constellations meant something, and everything moves. It's like a map that moves throughout the year. I got really into astronomy at one point.
You're doing great.
Well, I love going to a planetarium, and there used to be one when I was growing up as a kid, we would go. My dad loved it, so we would go. And every month they would say, well, okay, here's what to look for tonight, you know, this month, what you're going to see. So the only one I really remember is Orion's Belt. I know how to find that. Do you know anything about Orion's Belt?
Sure.
Yeah, that's the one I kind of know.
There you go. Pensacola State College has had a great planetarium.
That's right. That's
years.
Right.
And I've seen some of those shows they put on it. Just, to me, it's fascinating.
Me too.
It really is.
It's like it is a whole other world.
Exactly. Maybe we should have changed our college major. Maybe we could have.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I have enough space cadet stuff going on. I'm not sure I need to reinforce with a degree.
Oh, my goodness. That is funny. Well, today we hope folks will text us and ask us their questions. That's always fun. But I did get a little note from IFAS, which is the extension service.
That's right.
From Gainesville, and the topic was the top five mistakes when managing your summer lawn.
Oh, that sounds very interesting.
It's all very, very basic.
Okay.
The things that we've talked about, but I thought it'd be fun to see what other people are saying. What they say is that the heat and the humidity, the bugs, the unpredictability of rain, can cause stress to a lawn.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't control a lot of that. But what you can control is some of the cultural practices that you do, some of the best practices that are recommended by the state. So in any event, those will stop from having these five mistakes. So here's the first one. How many times have we talked about this? Mowing too short.
Yes, we have talked about that quite a bit.
We have talked about that quite a bit because he says here that if you cut off a lot of leaf tissue, that will cause the stress. And then the drought, the heat, the cold, the lack of rain, whatever, will take its toll there. So always remember, St. Augustine, 4 inches, centipede, 3, zoysia, 2. If you keep that little formula in mind, then we'll go along with the state here and how to not to mow too short. All right. Now, here's one, Mick, that I don't totally agree with. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I know. Number two, overwatering or irrigating on a schedule instead of as needed. You know, this is just me. I've never really debated this with some of these folks from IFAS and Gainesville. They probably say I'm dead wrong. But with our sandy soil, I really like, especially for those of us who, you know, who work and have a life, you know,
right.
And can't totally dedicate themselves to exactly how much to water the lawn. I like doing it on a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we have a rain like we've had, cut it off. Cut off the sprinkler. Do that. But I always like that three times, this time of year, three times a week, 30 minutes early in the morning. The state is saying, don't do it that way.
Huh.
It's not good for the lawn. They say to water it only when your grass tells you. Remember, we've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Two ways. One, when you walk on your lawn, or when you're even running your lawnmower on your lawn, you see your footprints, or you see where the wheels of the lawnmower went. Or, if especially St. Augustine grass, centipede to some extent, if that grass blade folds up in half, if mm-hmm. you will, that's your lawn telling you it's time to water. I've always thought sometime that might be waiting just a little too long.
That's almost like they're gasping for water.
You know what? I'm writing that down. That is exactly right.
Well, there's an Irish expression about the trees. Yeah. You know it's going to rain because their leaves turn up, open to catch the water.
Yeah, you're right, exactly. So when you see those two, the folding and the footprints in the grass, I think sometimes, I don't want to say it's too late, but I think if you had watered on a schedule and controlled the sprinklers
mm-hmm.
In regards to how much rain you're getting, that you'd be better off.
Probably this is going to sound strange, but it seems to me that the plants would like it too, the consistency of it in a way.
I agree.
I don't know how to, I know that they don't have a mind of their own per se, but
right.
I don't know, there's something to me about the process. It would get into a rhythm of, okay, this is for the water time, this is not, and it would be a rhythm in a way. Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. And there's some plants that are very sensitive to
That's
drought.
That's what I mean, yes.
Yeah, to drought, and you're right, and sometimes the result of waiting too late
mm-hmm.
could really make it too late. That plant might not make it.
Right.
So you're absolutely right on that. But on the lawn, everybody has to make up their own mind. I'm going to stay on my schedule, cutting it off when the rain comes,
mm-hmm.
and then go back to the 3 days a week. Now, as we get into August, if we should get a long-term drought and really get in trouble, statewide or region-wise, I should say, then all bets are off. Now, I know a lot of people will water every day.
Right. Questions? I've already got some texts coming in this morning. This is the Garden Line. We have our expert here on the Pensacola Expert Panel, our host, Mike Wiggins. And anything goes at your truck. Maybe you're working on something that you want to ask a special question about a particular plant or flower, or you are working on your lawn. Anything that you want to ask, this is the place to do it. 850-437-1620. Text it on in, and we'll be back right after the break. This is Pep Talk. Good morning. This is Pep Talk and the Garden Line. We've got Mike Wiggins in the house this morning to answer all your gardening questions. 850-437-1620. Mike, you've already got a text in. Came in early this morning, actually, before we even got here.
What time?
4:58 a.m.
4:58.
Someone woke up with this on this. We want to get to you first.
All I can say is, I promise you, I'll try to get this answer right.
I can relate, though, when you're up all night thinking about something. I totally get this. So anyway, we want to take care of you this morning right away. So the question is, I have mostly Palisade Zoysia and have been fighting to eliminate the mouse-eared chickweed. What do you suggest to kill it? I would also like to kill the areas of Bahia grass that I have.
Really, kind of two questions here. Let's do the mouse-eared chickweed. Do you know why they call it mouse-eared chickweed?
Because it looks like a mouse.
It looks like a mouse's ear. It does.
I'm so quick that way.
You are. God, you're good at this. Okay. But yeah. All right, now here's the deal on that. Your zoysia. You know, if you go by the books, your zoysia should really choke out that chickweed,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're growing the zoysia in full sun. It really should. But it's you can treat it like a broadleaf weed. Now, it's just not the right time to do it. I don't like using chemicals, and I'll use just an example. One, my favorite, is Trimec, T-R-I-M-E-C. That's a selective broadleaf weed killer. In other words, it kills the broadleaf weed but doesn't damage the grass.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you use that here in July, I'll be here before you know it, when it's so hot and can get dry again, you might damage your lawn or singe it or burn it, and you just obviously you don't want to do that to your Palisades Zoysia, which is a great variety, by the way. That's a good one to do. So I would really hold off on that until we get really into the fall, you know, maybe even into October. I know that you want to do it sooner than that. Now, if it's really bad, here's what you could do. You could get some Trimec, mix it up exactly how it says on the label, and experiment. Spray just a small, you know, say 2 foot by 2 foot area where the chickweed is, and see if, one, if it controls the chickweed, and two, if it damages the grass. Maybe do it off on the side where it won't be noticeable if it does damage the grass. That's one way to do it if you're really desperate to do it. Now, if you're asking about getting Bahia, and I assume the question is the Bahia is in the Zoysia.
That's what it sounds
It sounds like it. Well, Bahia is going to be very, very difficult. The chickweed is a broadleaf weed. Bahia, of course, is a grassy weed. And really, Bahia is not a grassy weed to some people. A lot of people have, or not a lot, but some have Bahia lawns.
Uh-huh.
So the Bahia grass in your Zoysia goes under that principle of you've got the wrong plant in the wrong place.
Okay.
And so, in any event, the best way to do that, and it's not going to be that effective, but the only way I would know to do it is to look way ahead, all the way into the fall, and use your pre-emergence weed killer. Because when you use it, oh, golly, in November, mm-hmm. October, November, that should keep that Bahia grass, hopefully, from coming back next year. However, that's a little bit of wishing and hoping there, because that Bahia is just as strong a grass as that Zoysia is. So you have to be, once again, you have to be very, very careful. But I would do that. I would try my pre-emergence in the fall, try it in the spring again. And, of course, the other way, this is radical surgery, is to use what we call a non-selective weed killer, which kills everything but does not sterilize the soil like the old Roundup product, and there are a lot of substitutes for that around nowadays, and go ahead and spray where the Bahia is. It'll kill the Bahia. It'll kill the Zoysia, too, and then resod. So if you have a small area where the Bahia is maybe just even taking over, you may want to do that radical surgery. If not, I would stick with the pre-emergence and spring and fall.
Okay, that's a good question.
That is a great question. It's a tough question.
Because, it is.
You get Bahia grass, of course, is everywhere. We have two types of Bahia grass, as a matter of fact. We have Pensacola Bahia,
mm-hmm.
okay, is one, and Argentine Bahia.
Really?
Yes, the Pensacola Bahia is the one you do not want anywhere. It's so strong, it sends up all those seed shoots.
Oh.
Oh, golly, they'll grow up to about 12 inches plus. So the Argentine is one that some people have used for turf,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of a wide open growing grass. It is used a lot by Department of Transportation on right-of-ways.
Interesting.
Because it's so drought tolerant.
It doesn't die.
It doesn't die. And that's where this nice person who texted us has got the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Zoysia, which is your desirable grass, but that Bahia is so strong. It's hard to control. And then there's the last thing you can do. Get on your hands and knees, get your little trowel, and start digging it up.
Ugh.
But trust me, if you don't get every little speck of those roots, it'll come right back.
Oh, my goodness.
So
okay.
That's kind of the story on that.
All right, got another question coming in. 850.
By the way, I'm just going to say, thank you for waking up with us this morning. at 4:58 a.m.
Yeah, that was the other. Yeah, that was the other. Yes, he goes,
I just can't believe that she woke up this morning and got a cup of coffee and said, "I think I'll call Mike and ask what's going on."
That's awesome.
I am honored.
Aww,
thank you very much.
That's awesome. Okay, we've got another question. If you've got a question for Mike on the Garden Line, and this is Pep Talk, all you got to do is text it in this morning at 850-437-1620. This one says, "I have a question for Mayor Wiggins, specific to green bean plants that were doing very, very well, and then they had an overnight leaf wilt on the entire vine. What causes that?"
That sounds like, and I say sounds like, the wilt that we get on tomato plants,
mm-hmm.
which is a disease that it happens exactly like just what happened to your green beans, whereas you go to bed at night and they look wonderful. You wake up and it looks like somebody poured boiling water on them.
Yeah.
Just everything's drooping. I was not familiar with that being a problem of green beans. That's what it sounds like to me. Now, the only other thing would be if someone had sprayed an herbicide close by. It could be a neighbor and just the drift hit.
Oh.
That would do it also.
Okay.
Too much fertilizer might do it, but not that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to think we've got some type of pathogen in there that's affecting it. And really, if it's like tomatoes, it gets the wilt, not much one can do.
Mm.
Not much one can do. A tomato plant, you just dig them up, throw them away, and hope that, and plant somewhere different next year. That's the key.
Okay.
Don't plant in the same place.
Anything they can do now for the green beans?
I don't know of anything you can do. If it's sitting there just totally looking like it's been boiled in oil, I think it's hopeless. But just one thing that always worth a try, just overwater it. Just water the devil out of it and see if by chance you can promote some new growth.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line in just a minute. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel in the Garden Line. Got lots of texts rolling in this morning,
good,
Mr.
Good,
Mayor.
Good.
All right, so let's try to get to some of these before the news. This one says, "My oak leaf hydrangeas bloom beautifully for several weeks. How can I get them to bloom again this summer?"
Well, a little fertilizer would be good.
Ah.
They like, especially if they're the blue ones, and I'm sure they are, they like a little bit of acid soil. The fertilizer I'd like to use is the Azalea Camellia Gardenia fertilizer. If you can find that, and it usually comes listing those three things as the title on the fertilizer bag. Don't overdo it. Be sure you water it good, and that's what I would do. What I would not do is get out there and start pruning away at it. I don't think you want to do that yet. Now, keep in mind, you don't want to prune it. You don't want to wait till spring to prune it either.
Mm-hmm.
You do it kind of in the fall, prune, because it's going to bloom on that old wood. So that's what I would do, and I think you'll be okay.
Okay, we got another one. What is the best thing to do in a large established rock bed to prevent weeds from coming up through the rocks that is also pet safe?
The pet safe is tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Pet safe is real tricky. There's a product called Preem. There's also a weed you find in the garden centers, a weed and grass preventer. It's granular. It's a shaker can. You could shake it over those rocks. But the weeds have got to be gone first.
Mm-hmm.
What you might want to do is do a little two-step here and go ahead and use some of your Roundup-like products and spray on those rocks to kill any weed that's there now. But keep in mind, those products do keep weeds from coming back up. They don't sterilize the soil. They just work systemically through the weed. So get rid of them first that way, and then find your, what I call a pre-emergence granule to just sprinkle in the bed, and that will inhibit future weeds from coming up.
Okay, getting all the answers this morning from Mayor Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. If you've got a question, text it on in at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break now so we can catch up on some news, but when we come back, more of your questions on the Garden Line. This is Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and it's Tuesday morning, and that means it's time for the Garden Line with Mayor Mike Wiggins. Boy, we're getting lots of questions in this morning in the Garden Line, Mike.
You know, and we really appreciate it for this time of year.
Yes.
You know, the planting season is moving on. We are enjoying the fruits of our labor,
mm-hmm.
but to have folks text us and talk to us about what they've done and some of the issues that they have. I really appreciate it. I know you do too, man.
Yes, I do. I think it's
just
wonderful.
It just makes it fun.
Yes.
I mean, I've got all kind of stuff here.
He always comes in prepared.
Well, I got all kind of stuff. None of it is more exciting than what people are asking us.
All right.
None of it.
Well, here we go.
Let's do it.
Okay. This is from one of our listeners. Due to illness, my zoysia lawn got full of weeds. What can I do this late in the summer, in the season?
Not much you can do. Mm. They're really, we talked about this a minute ago, using your broadleaf weed killer to kill dollar weed, chickweed, whatever you may have, can really have dire consequences.
Mm-hmm.
It can just burn the lawn. So, I mean, we're going to be in the 90s here.
Yes.
And you just can't put an herbicide on turf in the 90s, in my opinion. But, like we said and recommended a minute ago, if you are absolutely desperate and just want to say, I'm going to get some of them, experiment with a little small spot in your yard and then see what happens.
Okay. Got another question coming in. And if you've got a question for Mike on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620, just text it on in. This one's from David. He's one of our regular listeners, and he was chatting with us. I think it was last week. He said, I had an overgrown mess with pampas grass and blackberry vines, so I dug very deep and dug it all up, cleaned out the pampas grass, and transplanted it along with some Mexican petunias. It took about 2 weeks, but it turned out great. Love the show. And he sent us
good
a picture, and it looks great.
Oh, I'll sneak over at the break and look at the picture.
Yeah, so that's great,
thanks,
David.
We love those pictures.
Okay, let's see.
That is great.
Okay. Hang on a minute here. I'm scrolling through. No. Someone's commenting about, I think, Zelsia works well on Bahia in Centipede and in St. Augustine. We were talking earlier about that.
What's the question?
Celsius?
Well, Celsius, yeah, that's another weed killer.
Not sure about the zoysia. Okay, that's what they were just kind of chiming in with our conversation earlier.
But
okay.
Even Celsius, I think you've got to watch the weather. You've got to watch the temperature.
Okay, here's another one.
That's right.
I'm harvesting dove weed in my lawn and it's doing great. Ooh. Any warnings I should consider?
Ooh, dove weed is tough.
Well, it sounds like they're doing great with it, huh?
Well, I'm trying to figure out
Wow, I've never heard Mike. It just stumps Mike.
I'm kind of stuttering here.
What is dove weed? Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Well, dove weed is really another weed that's the wrong plant in the wrong place.
Uh-huh.
It'll get into your Centipede, St. Augustine, and that type of thing. And I'm just a little surprised that we're cultivating it. I'm not sure that we're reading the question right.
I said I'm harvesting dove weed in my lawn, and it's doing great.
I tend to think that may have been a... tongue-in-cheek remark.
Oh, right, I see.
I'm guessing.
Okay.
Now,
I gotcha.
Well, maybe not. So let us know. When you say you're harvesting it.
Okay, I see what they're saying. I got it. It was a joke.
I think so.
Okay. See, we're very serious here. We're taking all your questions
seriously. We are very serious. This is a very serious subject.
That's like me saying I'm growing. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay, we'll move on. If that's not the case, we promise we'll come back to you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and then we got a big thank you from when we were talking to the person that had texted in and was talking about the, the green bean plants. They said thank you. He wants to text to say thanks.
That is so depressing.
I know, because
you have worked, you've prepared the soil,
yes.
You planted the seed, it's up, it's good, you're ready to harvest, and here you go.
Okay.
Very depressing.
All right, this was from another listener. Our vegetation, including the lawn, appears to have taken off during the recent rains. Is it my imagination, or is rainwater far more beneficial than straight-up irrigation water?
But my answer to that is absolutely. There is nothing that can is better than rainfall, because it really will make your lawn and many of your plants just kind of sit up and talk. It's really good. Now, you know, we have to irrigate with the water we have, which is not dangerous. It's good. You've got to have it. But I think, and I can't tell you why rainwater is better, but it certainly is. No doubt about it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I agree.
More natural recycled.
Sure.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is pretty funny.
Oh, no. Are we back to the dove weed again?
No, this is our other listener, that bless his or her heart, who sent in the message at 4:58 a.m. So we were anxious to get the answer to you, so we talked about it first up in the show this morning. They sent in text and, sorry, I missed the first half of today's episode and sent this question in. So we've already answered. This is about the zoysia grass and everything else. So please do listen to it ahead of time. And then we went into great detail answering that question.
Right.
It was the one about fighting to eliminate the mouse.
Oh, yeah. The
mouse-eared chickweed.
Yes. Mouse-eared chickweed. Exactly.
Yes, so definitely listen to the episode. And you can do that anytime on our website at newsradio923.com. Just click on the podcast page. You'll see he has his own section called The Garden Line. Click on that. And you can listen to every episode he's ever done on this show. They're all been archived there. So, and I do it right after the show, so you can get the same day. And then also on Saturday mornings, the show comes on, and you can listen and replays on Saturday. So lots of possibilities
now,
there.
And Meg, before we go any further.
Yes, sir.
I want to go back to the dove weed a little bit.
Okay.
whoever sent that text
harvesting
in,
dove weed.
Yeah. Tell us kind of exactly what you mean.
Were you seriously asking that question, or were you just playing?
Exactly. I really would like to know that.
Because I'm a good weed harvester.
Oh, no.
In that context.
Well, we all are. No question. Okay. Anyway, I would really love to hear a little more about that.
Okay, let's see. I'm using one part hydrogen peroxide and to nine parts water, spray my plants at night with a mister once a week or every 3 days, and it fights the pottery mildew. Interesting. So many cucumbers. So they guess they have a mixture of hydrogen peroxide
and water.
And water, and they spray it every night. Let's see. Spray on it plants at night with a mister once a week or every 3 days. Okay.
Wow.
Once a week, every 3 days, and that seems to keep the wilting from going away. That's interesting.
Did she say what plants that she was spraying?
No, didn't get specific about the plants. Oh,
so, you know, powdery mildew is a real problem with roses.
Oh.
It's kind of coupled with black spots. You can kind of get them both at the same time. But the powdery mildew literally looks like somebody sprinkled baby powder on a plant.
Okay.
And doing the hydrogen peroxide in water is a remedy I've never heard. It's kind of a home memory,
mm-hmm.
a home remedy, if you will.
Right.
Well, my goodness, if it works.
Why not? You
know, why not?
That's a great tip.
That's a great tip, because there's some people that may have that, and some of your over-the-counter products may not work as well as that. So, give it a try.
It sounds a little more natural, not chemical-ridden.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, exactly. Well, I really appreciate that.
We love it when people text in tips, too. Everything helps.
We learn something every week.
Yes, that's so true. And from our listeners. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Still time for your comments and questions. We'll be back right after the break. Welcome back to The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. What you got, Mike?
Okay.
The research department
has
been busy.
I didn't even know they came to work today, but they did. And they said, okay, I'm going to read to
you. All right.
Just a couple of sentences. Is dove weed invasive? yes. Dove weed is considered an aggressive summer annual weed. Native to tropical and subtropical Asia.
Oh.
It has naturalized in the southeast, where it aggressively takes over turf grass and agricultural land.
Oh, dear.
But also, one other thing. It says post-emergence against dove weed recommended Celsius.
We were talking about
somebody
that.
Somebody recommended Celsius and blindside. That's another post-emergence. Anyway.
Okay.
I just wanted to let you know the research department. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate that. So now I'm really confused. Harvesting the dove weed.
That's a serious question.
Okay.
But if it is, that's your answer.
That's my answer.
Okay.
And I'm sticking to it.
All right. We've got another question that came in. This is a totally different topic. My pear tree did not flower this year and not one pear on it. I have always had a great harvest of pears as I can make them and make pear butter. Wow, that's wonderful. Do you have any suggestions? The tree is over 30 years old.
Wow, 30
pear
years
butter.
Old.
Pear butter. I don't know if I've ever had. I've had apple butter.
Yeah, I've never had that either. That's awfully hard to say. One of the hardest questions we get on the Garden Line is, why doesn't my XYZ plant bloom?
It used to.
I don't know the answer to the question other than, depending on what type of pear tree it is,
mm-hmm.
you always have to look at how many chill hours they need to produce. And we did not have a severe winter this winter.
So what do you mean by chill hours?
The number of days in the winter where you get down into the low 40s or the 30s.
Oh, and so you're saying a pear tree needs that?
Absolutely.
It's
dormant, in those months. And you really have to have so much chill hours. Now, a lot of the fruit trees we plant, peaches, plums, pears, et cetera, are what I would call low chill varieties. In other words, they've been produced to are being propagated and developed to produce if you don't have a lot of chill hours. But it's like, I always use the example, you go to Publix and you buy a red delicious apple,
mm-hmm.
that has about 1,000 chill hours needed to grow a red delicious
wow.
apple.
Okay.
You can't do that in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. So you plant other varieties of apples.
I see. Okay.
But this pear tree is over 30 years old, and it's always produced. So I'm going to say maybe, just as a guess, our lack of a real cold winter may have affected it. And, you know, we had the drought here. But we kind of forgot mm-hmm. about that. That could have had some effect also. But I'm going to go with cold weather.
Is there anything they can do?
Oh, I think, well, if it's been 30 years, you've had good... whatever you were doing, keep doing it.
Right.
You know, a little fertilizer, fruit tree fertilizer, mm-hmm. you know, fertilizing all the way out to the drip line, to the edge of the branches, is important to do. Obviously, you've got to watch your water, and I think they're probably going to be fine.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit like pecan trees. Pecan trees, they can get to that old, that age, and they'll skip a year. They'll produce great. Next year, they won't do a thing.
More pear then, butter than you'll know what to do with.
Yeah, that's right.
We expect a jar here.
I was just going to say, you know, we need to do some research on that.
There you go.
So
that's right.
We love a jar.
Personal research.
Pear butter, yeah.
Thank you for the question.
Thanks, that is a great question.
Okay,
thanks.
Casey says, I pruned my peach tree way back early in the spring as the internet told me to, that I should. Unfortunately, since then, it never grew any leaves, new branches, or blooms this year. Do you think I killed it?
Well, I wonder if it has any foliage at all.
If
it
has
no foliage at all, you may be in trouble.
Okay.
But the internet is always right, so I'm sure that...
Oh, they say I use goat manure and a little chicken manure. Thanks.
That's very interesting you mentioned that. Those are old, I'm going to say, old-fashioned type fertilizers that farmers use.
And he says none. He did not use anything else.
Yeah, but if you use the chicken product,
mm-hmm.
that is a very, very strong fertilizer, nitrogen-wise. Some people who use that in a vegetable garden will literally burn some of the plants
oh.
they have because it is very, very strong.
Huh.
I would use even more of a classic fertilizer that's slow release. I think that would probably treat you better. But if you're using the combination of those two, that might be the source of your problem. Just might be.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Great questions coming into the garden line this morning, 850-437-1620. So I put plants in the ground for about 10 years since we've been here, and none of the plants ever reach what I would consider an acceptable height. It's like they are dwarfed. Do you think I have a soil issue? I watered them, I fertilized them, but they never get taller than they should be, and this is for a hibiscus hydrangea. They stay about 2 feet tall, maybe.
Well, there are dwarf varieties of those, of course.
So you may have a dwarf
They may have a dwarf variety. But if you're planting those in the ground, sometimes if you're having problems with it getting to the size you want, I would go all the way back to basics insofar as preparation of the soil where you're planting your hibiscus or mandevillas or crotons or whatever tropical you're planting. Put a little scanelius back in peat moss, maybe a touch of lime. Mix all that with the sand and plant your plant in the full sun. Keep in mind, those tropical plants really like the full sun, especially those hibiscus. And right now the hibiscus are just blooming crazy. And if yours are not, then yeah, I think I would consider amending the soil a little bit better and a good flowering plant fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
be it liquid or granular, would probably be in order, too, to kind of promote some of that growth. Miracle-Gro makes a good one. Fertilome makes a good one. And try that. Maybe every 30 days or so. Let's fertilize it a little bit. Sort of like a rose.
Right.
And see if that doesn't improve it. But there are dwarf varieties of hibiscus, for example, and mandevilla and those type of things.
Okay. All right. I've got another question. Can I put weed and feed down on my grass now?
That may be the easiest question we've had all day.
Yes.
I'm going to say it this way. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I would say no, not now, No, never.
Oh.
You know, we don't like Weed and Feed on the Garden Line.
Okay.
Mainly because, there's no secret why we don't like it. Weed and Feed, and you've heard me preach this sermon before,
mm-hmm.
Weed and Feed has two ingredients. It has the weed control, which is a pre-emergence for the most part, and it has the fertilizer. And you're using the wrong, you never, they don't want, your plant doesn't want those items at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing a lawn, for example, your pre-emergence, this starts a new year. Pre-emergence should be used in February. Your fertilizer can be used April and May. You use a combination, you can get, I have seen it, you get some kind of yellowing, little chlorosis, that type of thing. So I really am not a fan of any of the weed and feeds.
Okay.
And certainly not now, because if you have a weed and feed that contains atrazine, which is a good pre-emergence, you really might burn something.
Okay. Great advice coming from our expert, Mike Wiggins, on the Garden Line. Going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Pep Talk and the Garden Line, and you never know what kind of questions are going to come in or where they're going to come from. But got an interesting question this morning. It says, Mayor Mike, I have this really nice reflecting pool in my backyard, and all of a sudden I have all this green algae. Any idea of how I can fix that?
Oh, man. Well, just be careful that you don't have neighbors coming over there with their machete and cutting it up and pouring fertilizer into your reflecting pool.
Our Whistler says a wicked sense of humor.
You told me I was being set up for that one.
I know. It was too good to pass
up. That is the most amazing thing ever.
Isn't it something?
It really is.
It's just wild. Wild.
Exactly. And I'm going to set you up now. You ready?
Uh-oh.
What is the name of the company that originally that went in there and did all that work?
I found this out yesterday.
What's the name?
Name of the company.
Name of the company.
Green Water Pool Services. I'm not making this up.
I think that's true.
It's true.
Green Water Pool Services.
Green Water Services or something, and it's just so funny.
Oh, my goodness. In one way, it's hilarious, and in another way, it's just sad.
Well, you know what? We got to keep laughing.
To keep from crying.
There you go. Keep on laughing.
Exactly right.
Okay, any more tips? You said you had one more for the
well,
lawns.
Yeah, just one more. We
got just a little bit of time here.
Real quick, mistake number three, and in your reflecting pool.
Yes.
applying too much nitrogen in the summer.
Ooh.
We want to do that for St. Augustine, which will take a fair amount of nitrogen, but no nitrogen on your centipede. You do some on your zoysia, that would be fine. Those two grasses will like a little summer kick of nitrogen. Centipede, not so much. Centipede, we can use some organics, like milorganite and that type of thing. But don't put a high nitrogen fertilizer on your centipede in the midsummer.
Okay.
That's not the thing to do.
All right. Great advice.
Great call, Sam. I've got to say, it's great. I really want to hear from the doveweed guy again.
Okay.
That's fascinating to me. But anyway, thank you all so much. Meg, always fun.
It's always fun with you too, Mike. You're the best. You're an expert. And we're so blessed to have you on the Garden Line this time every week from 9 to 10. You can also rehear the broadcast on Saturday mornings right here on News Radio 92.3. And you can re-listen on the podcast page at newsradio923.com.